Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Matthew Stafford never had a playoff win until this campaign. Now can he go win the Super Bowl? Stafford throws the fade, back shoulder. Cooper Kupp's got it! Matthew Stafford's done it again.
They need to gain one to keep their hopes alive in Super Bowl 56.
Burrow to throw for it. He flings it away on fourth down. Aaron Donald got there. The greatest of all time on defense does it in the biggest moment of Super Bowl 56. A Lombardi Trophy for Los Angeles. The Los Angeles Rams are world champions.
He is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do? We get a people. What they want. Jalen, it came down to Joe Burrow with a shot to win the game or tie the game in the fourth quarter. They needed yards. They needed one or two. And Aaron Donald made the plays that brought the Los Angeles Rams the Super Bowl victory. Jalen, I know this was important to you. Here they are right here.
Yep.
Because this meant that Matt Stafford, who barely moved the ball in the second half, had to put together a drive. A quarterback that you've been rooting for over a decade, got to the mountaintop wearing a different uniform.
Shout out to the Kroenke family. I see Stan holding up the trophy. He won one in St. Louis. Moved the team from there controversially. Built a new arena in Inglewood and invested in this team. And they won the championship the first year they opened the new stadium. That's incredible. And they doubled down on everything. So you already have McVay, Aaron Donald, and Jalen Ramsey. You have Cooper Kupp, who's emerged as all everything. And then all of a sudden, Woods get hurt. You bring in Odell Beckham Jr. Need more pass rush. You bring in Von Miller. They do everything they can to make sure that they put themselves in position. But the elephant in the room was that quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean McVay made sure to say, we made it to the Super Bowl with Jared Goff. But if I upgrade that spot, I could deliver. And Matthew Stafford, you're right. I've been watching him as close as anyone in this game. He will throw it to the other team, which he did.
Oh, yeah.
But it wasn't costly. And I'm happy for him. I was happy to see him completed to Odell.
Mm-hmm.
I was happy to see him completed to Cooper Kupp. I'm happy to see him celebrate winning the Super Bowl. But I got to tell somebody, I got to tell the world something.
What's up?
Let me just make sure. Let me clear my throat. Detroit ain't celebrating this. This ain't no moral victory for my city. We ain't the Detroit Rams. We ain't the Matthew Lions. We ain't the Detroit Staffords. We ain't none of that. I wanted him to leave Detroit because I specifically said multiple times, he has Hall of Fame numbers and trajectory, mm-hmm. but now he needs winning in his life. He went to L.A. first year. Not only does he have winning in his life, he's a Super Bowl champion, and I'm happy for
him. Super Bowl champion, and he lost Odell Beckham during the game. They had a lot of trouble moving the ball. We'll discuss that. But one thing that we really do need to discuss is it wasn't Matt Stafford, the game-winning quarterback, who was the MVP of the Super Bowl. It was Cooper Kupp, who put together from week one to the Super Bowl one of the best seasons ever at his position, and yesterday was no different, especially with that fourth quarter big drive.
That dude gets open.
Yeah, he does.
And the thing about it is not only the precise route running and the good hands, but the maneuverability to elude tackles and turn a short
this
catch
play.
Into a long run.
This is a big
you know what I mean? Exactly. And so his emergence has been so very refreshing to watch. Because the same guy normally doesn't lead the league in catches, yards, and here's the big one, in TDs.
Like you caught right there.
While winning the Super Bowl the same season.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only other guy that did that, I don't know if you realize this, his name is Jerry Rice.
It's
the only person that has ever had a season like Cooper Kupp had this year, and it was incredible.
Cooper Kupp had a great statistical season, but one of the things that you started this with is that guy gets open. And, like, when you watch some of the replays, like, he's doing these triple move shimmies at the line. And, like, when Odell Beckham goes down, it's like, well, they're going to throw to – they don't have Higbee. They don't have Woods, as you mentioned. They don't have Beckham. It's like, well, they're going to go to Kupp. And on that drive, everyone in the building, everyone at home watching the game knew they were going to go to Kupp. And he still found a way to throw him open, and Kupp found a way to get open.
Elusive. Yeah. And I know Eli Apple made it to the Super Bowl with the Bengals, and he wanted to make sure that he gave tickets to the members of the Kansas City Chiefs. I saw Mecole Hardman trolling him after the game. Mm-hmm. That's just how this works. And he sent him a picture of his actual Super Bowl ring just to remind him what one actually looks like. And I had to look twice because I don't have one either. But it was a great visual. And in all honesty, I'm really happy for the Rams. I'm really happy for Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford and Odell Beckham Jr., who was a guy that had to reinvent himself and did it during the season.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the Super Bowl ring, because after those plays at the end of the game, of course, the third down, just showing his strength, he stops P. Ryan, who I think ran on that play. And then on fourth down, Aaron Donald gets the play to seal the game. And what did he do right after he made the play?
The rings and things right you sing about,
right,
bring them out.
He made the play. Right after he made the play, as he did at the end of the NFC Championship game, he points to his ring. There's an argument to be made that he should be the MVP. But when he needed to, remember when he pushed out Burrow on the sideline and then people were mushing him and putting their hands on his neck? He made this play and the last play. Do you think that he is one of, if not the greatest defensive player?
I got to tell you a secret, fam.
What's that?
Aaron Donald should have won MVP.
Oh!
Kupp didn't go over 100. And I look at two sacks in particular, the way he got them, almost like two touchdowns. But then the four total tackles and the two tackles for loss. Mm-hmm. And when he got the last one.
Yeah, five pressures.
To me, made him the actual MVP. And there will be talk today. And you heard the call about him being the greatest defensive player of all time. Let me just introduce everybody to someone. His name is Lawrence Taylor.
Yes.
He's the guy that can not only get you the two sacks that Aaron Donald got, and I bow down to Aaron Donald's greatness and always keeping a fresh cut even during the game. One thing he's not called upon to do is something LT did against my Lions, and I'm going to make sure here's the distinguishing factor. He intercepted the football, and he ran it 99 yards on Thanksgiving.
Well, he also doesn't end the game with four tackles. He ends the game with 14. And another thing I want to say is Cooper Kupp had a great season, but let's also not forget about Jerry Rice. So we're in our 40s here. So if you're in your 20s, I understand you're excited about Donald and Kupp, but let's not forget about Jerry Rice and Lawrence Taylor while we're having these conversations on a Super Bowl Monday.
Well, it's just generational. Like, there are people today that's going to say LeBron is the GOAT. Mm-hmm. Drake and Kanye are the GOAT. That's what they believe because that's what they see. They think Aaron Donald is the GOAT. That's why we check in the game and remind them there are people that actually came before them that accomplished things that they haven't accomplished just yet.
Exactly. Great game from Donald. He came up exactly when they needed it. And I really feel like the Rams bench getting in his face had a factor in his play in the fourth quarter. Now, one of the big stories going into the game and coming out of the game is Odell Beckham Jr. Jalen, we all know what happened in Cleveland. He goes to Los Angeles, and then what?
Cleveland! This is for you. You know what I'm saying? In your face! In your face!
I love that you brought back in your face.
You know what I'm saying? Like, normally the dude that ends the way he ended in Cleveland win the Super Bowl that same year and catch multiple touchdowns the last 10 or 11 games. And not only was he an integral part of them getting it done, in particular before he got injured, but once he got injured, it reminded me of the fragility of an athlete. Mm. Because it was the thrill of victory, and then it was the agony potentially of defeat. Because we still don't know what the severity of his injury is.
No.
And I believe it was the same knee that he hurt previously. Mm-hmm. And while he is a Super Bowl champion, he was filling in for somebody who was also hurt. So how about the irony that he fills in for Woods, gets injured, he's a free agent, Woods may return, and we'll see what Odell Beckham's future look like.
But he started the game with the touchdown, and that touchdown catch was amazing. Not just going up and getting the ball, but going up and getting the ball and then having the wherewithal to take one hand off the ball because the defender's hand was splitting his.
Matthew Stafford great at throwing that pass because of Megatron. Like, I saw that so many times. That's a Megatron special. The exact same throw that Cooper Kupp and Odell, mm-hmm. I seen Megatron do that a dozen times.
Back shoulder.
All day.
Doesn't have his
That's
head around.
That's Megatron all day.
And look at these numbers.
All day.
With Odell Beckham on the field, 10 for 12, 140, two touchdowns, zero interceptions. And then without, they just could not move the ball.
Let's not ignore the two interceptions. Mm-hmm. And this is why I'm saying Aaron Donald had a legitimate chance to win MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Because Matthew Stafford, while we're celebrating him and Sean McVay today, let's not act like they lit up the scoreboard in that game. Because they didn't.
Oh, they did not.
They did.
They did not.
Because I had a prop bet. And the prop bet was, would Trae Young score more points than the Rams? And I took Trae Young, just so you know. So I know they ain't light up the scoreboard. I know that.
Well, you were in New York City where gambling is legal. And it was a big day for all the Rams, a big day for Taylor Rapp as well. Taylor Rapp, as the confetti is falling, at the home field, SoFi, Taylor Rapp goes down on one knee.
I'm going down.
Proposes to his girlfriend, who is now his fiance, because she says yes. Now, Jalen, beautiful moment. They'll remember this forever. However, you know, I got to go a little negative Jacoby here. Did he make it about himself? You know what I mean? Did she not get her own moment?
I'm going to tell you why he did not make it about himself to answer your question.
Okay.
Because no one else on no other show is going to talk about this except ours.
Okay, that's a good point.
That's how. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so many storylines that's going to come from this game.
Uh-huh.
I appreciate the fact that Taylor says, this is one of the best days of my life. And I want to top it off by proposing to my better half. But here's the thing. When you do that, she got to say yes.
He knows she's saying yes.
You sound like somebody's been married 18 years. That's how you sound.
It's not always a guarantee.
Sometimes dudes do it to put her on the spot. You know what I'm saying?
My wife is like, are you either going to propose to me or I'm going to leave? You got like 3 weeks. So I knew she was saying yes. Jalen Rose, great performances from the people that we talked about.
Speaking of performances.
I'm making that transition
Drake,
right now.
Drake had
Let
a,
me do my job,
Drake
man.
Had a concert.
Drake had a performance
that Ciara and Russell Wilson left. Because he brought our future. Please continue.
Great performances on the field. But I think the best performance came at halftime. Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Kendrick, the queen of hip-hop and R&B, Mary J. Blige, Eminem, 50 Cent. We'll discuss that and some more about the game right after this. You're watching Jalen Jacoby.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome back to Jalen Jacoby, coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck here in the Seaport in New York City. Jalen, there's a lot of overreaction today, right? Cooper Kupp, best receiver of all time. Aaron Donald, best defensive player of all time. One overreaction also is that was the greatest halftime performance of all time, but it was one of the best. It's got to be top five. I love the halftime performance because it was two things. It was very, very Los Angeles and very, very hip-hop.
Sit around the campfire, ladies and gentlemen. Let me teach you guys something. There was once the most influential artist of rap music history. His name was Andre Young, aka Dr. Dre. Stop me if you've heard this story. There was a group called the World Class Wrecking Crew, and Andre Young had a song on there called Surgery, and it went, Dr. Dre, Dr. Dre. And 30, 40, 40 plus years later.
I think it's closer to 40.
He discovered all of those artists except Mary J. Blige. Just think of this. One human being, one man. I ain't gonna even talk about N.W.A. and what they accomplished. I'm not gonna even talk about the Chronic albums being the GOATs of all time. I ain't gonna even talk about the Game, Above the Law, the D.O.C. We ain't gonna get there. All of those artists, Snoop.
From his coaching tree.
Eminem and 50 were all discovered by the great Dr. Dre. And they took stage at the halftime performance, and it has never looked the way it looked. Culturally, sonically.
Regionally, like if celebrated Los Angeles.
Correct, sonically. And let me just salute K-Dot Lamar, because I like artists, and J. Cole falls into this category too. To me, they're not trying to make songs. To me, he's trying to make masterpieces. So like when he's about to put out an album, it ain't like, oh, let me just drop a hot verse or let me just put out a hot single. It's like, this is carefully crafted. And who's the master of that? Oh, Dr. Dre. When the last Chronic come out?
He's still working on it. Evan McPherson came out to watch it. He's still working on it. It's coming. It's coming to the lab. I love that McPherson came out to watch it, but I'm glad you also gave props to Mary J. Blige, who put on a show.
Yes, she did.
Like only she can. She has hit after hit after hit. And one of the images that I will always remember about Mary J. Blige is how she finished her performance.
She was tired,
she
dog.
She left it all on the field.
She was tired, dog.
Left it all on the field.
She was tired, dog.
And one thing that this show, Jalen and Jacoby, will never, ever stand for, one thing that is not allowed to be spoken into microphones or written on social media.
What?
50 Cent slander.
Who's slandering 50?
There was some 50 Cent slander going around the internet streets after the performance.
I don't know about all that.
There was a lot of discussion about his how he prepared for the performance in terms of his conditioning. And that is not going to be allowed. You know, when he was hanging upside down in that music video, that was 15, 17 years ago. And anyone that criticized him on social media, look at a picture of yourself 17 years ago.
Well, here's the thing. Like, that man at the bank too much. You ain't got time to be going
you
to the gym every day.
You drive past the gym when you're going to the bank.
Let me teach y'all something. Most of the people that are in the best shape ain't going to the bank all day.
That's a good point.
That's what he doing.
It's a good point.
Okay? Don't ever get it twisted.
I never go to the bank. Jalen Rose goes to the bank. I don't even know what rich people do at the bank, but I don't go to the bank. I got the app on my phone. Moving back to the game, Joe Burrow. Listen, second year in the league. Came so close. But you definitely leave this with the feeling, if they could protect him, he would have gotten them the win.
And like we predicted going into this game that the Rams would win. And the number one reason why, high sack numbers.
Yep.
That was the reason why. We figure he's going to get sacked. So let me think, who's going to be the person sacking him? Aaron Donald. That's not good for your quarterback.
No, Von Miller.
And Von Miller and like their defensive line. You see holding that knee and stuff, but I applaud his toughness. Terrific season by the Bengals. His outfit showing up to the game was super duper fly.
Hey, let's break that down. You and I need to go to the table and check that out.
Oh, let's do it.
Let's go to the table. One thing I love about the way Joe Burrow dresses is I don't love how he dresses, but I love the confidence in which he wears his clothes. Jalen, I could never pull this off. You could, but just look at the pregame fit.
Jacoby, that looked almost exactly like what I wore to the draft last year. The exact same look. And at first I looked at him, he looked like a little Rocco. He looked like a little Sly Stone and Rocky at first. But then I looked closer into it. I was like, you know what? The buffs, the hat, the personality, he's embodying what we've known for so very long in the NFL as Joe Cool. Started with Namer, Montana, and now Burrow. And so for him to be so very young in his career and to have established himself as not only a terrific quarterback, but as somebody with a personality. Somebody with a pulse. Normally the quarterback is like stiff, you know what I'm saying? Never laughs, never, and definitely, who's the other quarterback you ever seen hit the gritty?
Never happened.
Okay.
Has not happened.
My point exactly.
Maybe Lamar.
My point exactly.
Well, Jalen, one thing that I need to say is it is only his second year, but there's no guarantee the Bengals will be back.
They ain't going back.
There's no guarantee the Bengals will be back. This is the AFC is stacked.
Remember, Jalen said this. This is Miami Dolphins with Dan Marino.
Mm.
This was your chance, Cincinnati. I would love, love, love to be wrong. I love Chase. I love Higgins was balling.
Mm-hmm. Well, Burrow is
Higgins
so young.
Was balling.
Also young, Sean McVay. Youngest head coach to win a Super Bowl. However, I've got some words for Mr. McVay.
Ooh.
You know, I really do.
Ooh.
I might have been financially invested in the Rams, and I was very, very upset with some of this play calling. We'll discuss that right after this. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. Wednesday night doubleheader on ESPN starting at 7:30. The Battle of the Boroughs. It is Brooklyn traveling across the river to take on the Knicks in the Garden. And then at 10 p.m. Eastern, it's the Jazz going to Los Angeles to take on AD and the Lakers. And of course, NBA Countdown precedes it all at 7 p.m. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, today is a day to celebrate Cooper Kupp, Matthew Stafford, and Sean McVay. However, it's time for me to go negative. It's time for negative Jacoby. I might have been financially invested in the Rams' success yesterday. However, money line, because I was scared of the 4 points. And I was very upset with Sean McVay, who everyone's calling a genius today. He got to the mountaintop. He held up the Lombardi Trophy. But why was he running the ball for half a yard every single first down in the second half? Why was he doing this? I mean, I'm not a head coach in the NFL, but I'm sitting there watching the game on my couch like, what is this man doing with this play call?
Shout out to the people that bet Blue Gatorade. Everything's for sale. Let me tell you why.
Why?
He didn't want Matthew Stafford to lose the game.
Well, you sound like someone who's seen a lot of Matthew Stafford.
That's why. That's why. We're going to talk about Matthew Stafford's two touchdowns, but we're also going to ignore his two interceptions.
One was kind of a punt, and one was not his fault.
Well, either way,
he
had two interceptions. And so Sean McVay, like, wait a minute. OBJ's out. Woods is out.
They got to stop D. We going to cup.
Turn around. He gave him the Jimmy G treatment. That's exactly what he did.
Well, one thing about all those running plays that he called that all ended up getting 1 yard, and they were just right up the middle. I will say that the best play call of the day from Sean McVay was a running play. However, it
that
was to Cooper Kupp on fourth down. Mm-hmm. And I think that when he lies in bed, he's not thinking about all the bad running plays he called. He's just slapping himself on the back,
thinking about
that one.
Yes, indeed.
It was a big day for a lot of Rams. As we mentioned, Rap got engaged. Everyone became a champion. But Ben Jefferson had a baby. Big shout out to the Jefferson family. Big shout out to everyone for watching. We'll
Moving
be back
on
tomorrow.
Up.
ESPN 2 at 4 p.m.
Far too kind.
We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners and those tuned in on Instagram Live.
What up, though?
Jalen versus everybody. Jalen. We discussed the Super Bowl all show long, but now it's time for the podcast exclusive discussion. And you touched on something during the game that I want to talk to you about that only you can offer perspective on.
What's that?
Is Eminem taking a knee, the Eminem performance, Matthew Stafford getting the Super Bowl victory? There's a parade in Detroit tomorrow, right? When's the parade in Detroit?
So I got to make sure that I say this loud for the people in the back. Because as the Rams were celebrating and the confetti was still in the air before it even hit the ground, people wanted to attribute one vendor printing some Detroit Rams shirts.
I saw those.
Into Detroit is now piggybacking off of the Rams, and therefore, if the Rams win, we also win. That ain't how we roll. Let me just make sure everybody on the same page. As a native Detroiter who's a Lions fan who never jumped off the bandwagon, I've seen so many people, and rightfully so, just get fed up with the Lions. And be like, you know what? I'm done. I can't do this no more. I'm done. It's just not good for my emotional,
I try to tell
physical,
you, I've been trying to have an intervention
yes,
with you for years,
with me. Yeah, same thing. And I stay loyal. And it ain't about the Lions. It's about Detroit. And let me just make sure one thing is clear. I am not proud that my hometown team has only won one playoff game in 60.
We should do a 30 for 30 on that game. We should do at least like a short. Just interview people that were there.
That's a good idea.
You know
idea.
What I mean? Yeah. Just like do a short. That's just a like good the idea. One playoff game that the city of Detroit had to celebrate. Just do a real deep dive.
Matthew Stafford joined a Rams team that made it to the Super Bowl without him.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean McVay's goal was to add him to take it to the next level, and it worked. Congratulations to Matthew Stafford. I was rooting for him. I'm happy for him. I even picked the Rams. Happy for them. Happy for Aaron Donald. But Detroit ain't hanging no banners today.
No.
We don't do that.
No.
We don't do that. L.A. got enough people that's going to be on their bandwagon. Okay? The Lakers got enough fans that ain't from L.A., just like Yankees got enough fans that ain't from New York. Just like a Cowboys got enough fans that ain't from Dallas. We don't roll like that in Detroit. We 10 toes down for our squad.
I love the halftime performance. First of all, I knew I would.
Right.
I'm the right age. I have the right sensibilities. Those are all legends to me, every single person that held a microphone to their lips. But one thing I loved about it, it was just so hip-hop. Where you know the dancing, the clothes, the fact that Snoop was smoking weed like behind a stanchion, like right before he took the
you
stage.
You heard Nate Dogg smoke like, weed yeah. every day.
Yeah, you'll have to remind Snoop.
Smoke weed all day.
It was just so like unapologetically hip hop that I really appreciated it. I really did.
It was so unapologetically. Shout out to Jalen versus everybody family. It was so unapologetically Andre Young
mm-hmm.
is what it was. For everybody that does not know about the history of rap music, I said this. Dr. Dre is the most influential hip-hop artist of all time. And by the way, you ready for this? And it ain't even close. And let me tell you why. Anybody that you're going to say a second, I'm going to tell you somebody that Dr. Dre discovered that accomplished more than them.
I'm not going to argue this. You know, it's also a longevity thing. Like if I said whoever, like Diddy or something, I'd be like, well, yeah, you learned about Diddy in 1990, what, too? But guess what? Dre's already 16 years in the game at that point.
But also Diddy's height has had a shelf life. And right now we're not talking about him because of the artist that he discovered or the music that he's making.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't doing halftime yesterday.
The Dr. Dre coaching tree is very successful. Not too many misses.
And by the way, when you think about the Dr. Dre coaching tree, I want you to always remember this. He also had NWA albums mm-hmm. with an S. He also had Chronic albums with an S. Beyond discovering Marshall, 50, Snoop, K-Dot, Game, D.O.C., Above the Law. Should I go on?
Yeah.
Like, it's not even close. And please, IG fam, tell me.
Best hip-hop album of all time. Also that.
That part.
Also that.
That part.
So what do musicians
the Chronic.
Do? What do musicians do? They make album. Who got the best one of all time?
The Chronic.
Dr. Dre. And I don't think that's impossible to argue. Isn't that impossible to argue?
There's no argument.
It's probably impossible to. I mean, Illmatic was the only thing that could come to mind.
How about this?
That you could put up
there are other albums that singularly compete with the Chronic, but there's no individual who has influenced and been so very instrumental. There's a reason why y'all walking around with Beats by Dre headphones on y'all ears and paying $150 for them. There's a reason why. He's the most influential hip-hop artist of all time. And you ready for this? And it's not close.
Mr. Rose.
But I just not thought about somebody that probably can have an argument down the line. Lil Wayne.
I knew you were going to say that.
Lil Wayne.
He's got a coaching tree as well. It doesn't rival Dr. Dre's.
It don't rival Dr. Dre's.
Don't rival Dr. Dre.
I want to make sure I shout out Weezy in this conversation.
But you got to remember, when you learn Lil Wayne's name, Dr. Dre was already 20 years in the game.
That part.
So you got to remember that part.
That
part. When he was talking about, Block is Hot or whatever. Yeah, like.
Dr. Dre was making hits. This is a dope Benny the Butcher line. Dr. Dre was making hits when Nicki Minaj was in a training bra. That's how long he been doing this.
Nicki Minaj's mom was in the training bra, dog. For real. Jalen.
What up, though?
I'm going to pat myself on the back for a second.
Where was Ice Cube? Where was Ice Cube? Where was the Don Mega? Yay, yay.
Yeah, that seems fitting.
I'm disappointed. There was no Ice Cube.
It seems fitting.
I'm going to be the person to say that.
That's a good point.
I'm going to be the person to say that. Where was Ice Cube? Please continue.
Do you remember when I was on the show and I was like, I'm scared of the 4 points? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to parlay a Cooper Kupp touchdown with the money line. I'm going to bet the money line. Go heavy on the money line. I know I don't get great odds, but I just don't like that 4 point because it feels to me that the Rams are going to win, but they're going to win by a field goal. My gambling worked out great. Not only that, but another thing I said on Friday, we were talking about Kyler Murray, and I was like, this feels a bit like Ben Simmons. Like, you know, the franchise feels like it's your fault that we lost in the playoffs.
It ain't my fault.
And you feel like the franchise is throwing you under the bus.
Did I do that?
And then it gets a little weird in the offseason.
It ain't my fault.
We got some reports here from people that do reporting. Chris Mortensen, Murray feels like he's been made the scapegoat for Arizona's late season swoon and playoff exit, while the Cardinals worry Murray is self-centered, immature, and the one who points fingers, sources told Mortensen. Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
I'm going to tell you what I don't like about that report. Shout to Mort, by the way, the OG. I hate hearsay reports. Like, every word you just said that he's accused of is somebody's opinion. That's not necessarily not a fact.
Yeah, self-centered, immature, and the one who points fingers.
Those are all opinions that somebody can say about you, somebody can say about me.
They're not wrong.
Somebody can say it about anybody.
I do like to point fingers.
What that is, I'm going to tell you, as somebody that's been doing this for so very long on both sides, that means it's time to give him his money. And I'm going to tell you another situation that is bumbling like that. You ready for this?
I know what you're going to say. Might be in the same city.
Where? Who?
DeAndre Ayton.
DeAndre Ayton? But here's another one. By the way, it's a travesty that the Suns have not paid DeAndre Ayton. They should have paid the man his money. Now the Cardinals are seeming to negotiate with Kyler through the newspaper, which I don't like. And let me tell y'all something that y'all going to see at the bottom of the ticker.
I love it when you do this. Remember, this is the man that told you James Harden was going to be in the 76ers.
Let me tell y'all
you're
something.
Still in shorts.
Let me tell you something, dog. In Kansas City, who do I want to see get a head coaching job?
Eric Bieniemy.
He hasn't got a head coaching job.
No, he's a free agent.
And normally, we've seen teams take care of their second assistant. Dallas Cowboys come to mind, right? Remember how they took care of Jason Garrett?
Mm-hmm.
And remember how they make sure right now they taking care of their defensive coordinator? Right? The Kansas City Chiefs, I don't believe, are giving Eric Bieniemy the kind of bread that he deserves, and I would not be surprised if he's not on their staff next year. Now, just think about this. How many coaches have you seen get jobs because they were a great offensive coordinator for a quarterback?
Most of them. Most of them. Most of the people that have a head coaching position were a great offensive coordinator.
I've seen people get a coaching job because they were the offensive coordinator of Kirk Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't get one if you won for Patrick Mahomes?
No. But no, it's just that. It's drawing up innovative play calls and doing things that no other team does.
Come on, man.
Like they run plays that other teams run 2 weeks later. I've seen it before. The Patriots did it one time against the Chiefs. Like those little, like, whatever they call it now, when the quarterback gets the shotgun snap and then tosses it 2 feet in front of him and it somehow gets passing yards for the run.
He got Kelsey throwing and catching touchdowns. Yeah. He got the cheetah running and catching up the field. He got Mahomes throwing and catching balls. Like, The Kansas City Chiefs are doing something so special and so innovative. You would have thought that Eric Bieniemy would have had a job years ago. And let me tell you why he don't have a job. Everybody listen up. Shout out to the IG Live fam. Shout out to the locks. Let me tell you why. There's something when you black, it's called being overqualified. When you show up and they know they got to take care of you and they don't really want to pay you your worth. That's why he don't got a job. He ain't going in there like, please, I want to prove it to you that I can get it done.
Yeah, yeah.
He walking in there like, I got Super Bowl pedigree. I did this with Patrick Mahomes. I did this with Tyreek Hill. I did this with Kelsey. Here's my number. And they like, because if you notice, we ain't seeing him do a lot of interviews.
No, I've been curious.
Come on, man. Come on, man. Come on.
That's an interesting one to keep in
mind. There's a term for us, Jacoby. It's called being overqualified. When we show up and all they got to do is give us the check because we've earned it, those be the hardest bread. That be the hardest bread to get. And that's sad. Mm. It really is. Mm.
Well, let's keep an eye on that Bieniemy situation. One thing we touched on during the show that I think is worth discussing in further
detail. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope he's on their staff. I hope he's getting top dollar. And by the way, Dan Campbell woke up this morning to people telling him he did a good job this year.
Mm-hmm. Really had your team fighting in those losses. I mean, yeah, you lost a bunch of games, but you really fought. Really fought. Jalen, something that we need to discuss is if we talked, the narrative going into the game is the Rams are all in. Everybody says that, all in, right? And then you've got, the Bengals, they had 6 wins in the previous 2 seasons. It's early on in their development. This would be a taste to get them in the Super Bowl, and perhaps down the road they'll get another chance and win one, right? It was like house money kind of feeling with the Bengals. Well, would you pick the Bengals over the Bills? No. Chiefs? Ravens, Titans, in a game?
This is probably their one shiny moment you reach for the sun. If I had to do over-under of Bengals making it back to the Super Bowl within the next 10 years, I'm going under.
Well, I mean, you got to set the number first. If I set it at 0.5.
Under.
You don't think they'll get back? Joe Burrow's a very talented quarterback.
So was Dan Marino.
Don't you feel like if they shore up the offensive line, they've got a chance?
So was Dan Marino. And I remember early in his career, him getting to the Super Bowl and even me saying, oh, he going to be there all the time. No big deal. Never made it back in the same AFC division and in the same AFC conference. I would love to see Joe Burrow continue to lead his team to Super Bowls and even win a Super Bowl. But I just know the trajectory of this league has been crazy to the point where a team like Cincinnati gets that opportunity every decade or two, not every year or two.
Would you wear his outfit?
Of course I would.
That's too much, man. That's too much.
Let me tell you something.
Okay.
He's wearing that outfit because I would wear it. That's why he got it on.
I don't like the sneakers, though. Can you replace the sneakers?
Sneakers don't go.
The sneakers don't work.
I got to tell all of you people out there something.
Listen up.
Dudes that wear gym shoes with dress pants don't know how to dress.
There's a way. It's doable, but it's hard to do. There's a small target zone you can do. There's certain gym shoes, like there's the kind of like understated, flat, like they kind of look, you know.
There's exceptions but like not, to
they don't
the
have
rule.
Swooshes on the side and like high tops.
But,
you
but
know
there are
mean?
People that think, I'm going to wear a suit with these Jordans and, oh, I'm fresh.
Yes, that doesn't
work. You look
work.
Stupid.
That doesn't work. There are like some understated sneakers, like designer ones that I don't buy because they're $350. They're all one color. They're not like, you know, no branding on them. And
you can
not
sneak
loud.
In a couple every
yeah,
now and then.
But no.
But really, like, so let me just teach everybody something about fashion. Your blazer and your collared shirt is one look. The pants that go with it accentuates that look or becomes a second look. The shoes accentuate both or become a third look. If you got on a blazer and a collared shirt, that don't say wear Jordans.
Doesn't. At that point, if you have a blazer on and buttons and all that, and you're trying to be like formal,
you just can't dress.
Your shoes are kind of like a holder. You know what I mean? We need you, but like it's really the kicker's job to get this done. And the long snapper, you know what I mean? Those are like the pants.
And there are blazers that you can wear with gym shoes, but they wouldn't be slacks, like a suit. It would be a different material type of blazer, different type of pant, maybe a khaki pant or five-pocket pant or whatever, and then you could get away with your Louboutins or whatever type of shoe.
Yeah.
But to wear a blazer with a button-up and gym shoes, you just can't dress.
And also, I just want to say something that you're saying, just to make it very clear to everybody, because this is important to me. You're saying gym shoes. If you can play basketball in the shoes, if you can play basketball in the shoes, like if you would actually play basketball in the shoes, do not pair them with a formal look.
Well, here's what happens. People want to force their gym shoes on their outfit.
Because they love their gym shoes.
Correct.
You know what I mean? It's like these sneakers are highly sought after. They're brand new. I want to look as fly as possible, so I want to wear them.
And to people who love sneakers but also don't know how to dress, they look at somebody's sneakers and say, those sneakers look dope. But they're ignoring the fact they don't go with that outfit.
That's what you come to the pod exclusive for. Has Snoop Dogg ever been charged with possession of marijuana?
Of course not.
I just want to know that.
You know why?
I saw the video of him smoking in the stadium. I'm like, I feel like whoever it is, like the chief of police would give him a pass.
You can't charge him for something that he does all of the time. The only time he wasn't smoking was during the show yesterday.
Probably during like Eminem set, he took a few pulls. He had a one hitter that he pulled out of his pocket.
I love Snoop so much. You got to get him back on the show.
I love Snoop so much. I was watching the show with my 8-year-old son. He's like, is that the guy that called you one day during the pandemic? I was like, that is the guy that called one day during the pandemic.
Man,
I gotta get. I think I Gmailed that voicemail to myself.
And shout to Mary J. Blige.
Oh, queen of hip hop and R&B.
She crushing it on Power. Crushed it the halftime show, and K-Dot too. I just love Kendrick Lamar so very much. That was a great halftime performance.
His award show performances.
Marshall Mathers representing the D.
When he puts together a performance, and also Anderson .Paak was his drummer.
Anderson .Paak is my guy. Yeah,
I was like, that's Anderson. Wait, they're not even gonna like mention him. And I was also watching him drum. I was like, where do you learn to do that in your spare time?
Another person that Dre discovered.
Really? Yeah. He's in the Dre coaching tree? Damn. Well, one of the things I love about the Super Bowl is the culmination of the NFL season. And when it's over, it gets to be about Wednesday this week, it's NBA time. This is when the spotlight really shines in the NBA. When, you know, we don't have to force the football topics. I'm sure that, you know, there'll be these little stories here and there, or this free agent, this, or this head coach, that, or the draft, this, that draft, that. It's NBA time now. I know the sports calendar.
So correct. I'm glad you went there. And the beauty that I love about Jalen and Jacoby doing this 10 years is that we make sure we talk about things that are current events. And I want to give you guys a mental exercise before we get out of here today. And we appreciate the support.
Great.
The mental exercise is, are you watching a show that's still forcing Dallas Cowboys topics even though that they don't play a game until September? Right. Are you watching a show that's talking about Dak Prescott and forcing Cowboys? What are the Cowboys' odds to win the Super Bowl next year? You know what I mean? If you're watching those shows, that tells you why you love Jalen and Jacoby so much, because we don't force topics.
We'll be back tomorrow with another dope pod to step two. Why is that, Jalen?
We're not done. Like the Blastmaster KRS-One once famously said, we are not done.